Good morning, everyone, and we welcome you this morning to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. It is Sunday, July 26, 2020. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And thank you all so much for joining us. Our subject this morning is truth, and we will begin with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from page 165 of Miscellany, something Mrs. Eddy gave the First Church of Christ Scientists in New York. He said, "Goodness never fails to receive its reward, for goodness makes life a blessing. As an active portion of one stupendous whole, goodness identifies man with universal good. Thus may each member of this church rise above the oft-repeated inquiry, 'What am I?' to the scientific response, 'I am able to impart truth, health, and happiness. And this is my rock of salvation and my reason for existing.'" Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. Our watching point today.
Watch number 475. Watch lest you try to do truth work. Mrs. Eddy once stated, quote, "You stand still and voice the truth. Truth does the work," end quote. That was the end of
Yes. Amen. Before we, Karen, a beautiful forum about this. Karen, would you like to speak to that?
Okay, the watch was just stated, so I'll just start. When man is governed by God, the ever-present mind, this is a quote from our lesson. On page 180 in Science and Health, it says this week, quote, "When man is governed by God, the ever-present mind, who understands all things, man knows that with God all things are possible. The only way to this living truth which heals the sick is found in the science of divine mind as taught and demonstrated by Christ Jesus." And I looked up the word living, dwelling, residing, having life or vital functions in operation, running, flowing as a living spring or fountain, producing action, animation, and vigor, quickening. And then from the watch, the word try, strive to obtain, exert strength, to strain, effort. How reassuring that the operation of truth is not dependent on any exertion or strain on my part. Like my practitioner sometimes needs to remind me, who do you think you are? We have only to accept the truth, claim it, because we are the expression, the reflection, and know that it is a living truth, vital, flowing with life as a living spring, activating, quickening, and giving strength and vigor, excuse me, and doesn't need our help. That's why we can stand still in our knowing of the truth, assured that the truth is operating, even when to the senses we may not see it right away. Our textbook and the Bible assures us that we will behold wondrous things out of thy law. This watch was so helpful for me because the effort, I have been feeling for so many years that it's my effort to get rid of error of some kind. And I've just been helped so much with this. And anyway, it's the truth that does the work. And I'm just so grateful to be learning that.
Thank you very much. And this beautiful lesson, it was written by Elizabeth this week. Thank you.
Well, bless Elizabeth.
It is. And then what you all get when you search more deeply for it. And I love your, you know, that definition of the living truth, vital, flowing with life, is living spring, activating, quickening, and giving strength and vigor. And it doesn't need our help. That's why, you know, sometimes, well, for instance, Paul had a thorn in his side, and yet he did tremendous healing work. Carpenter goes into this too, just because a practitioner might be having to, is working through a problem, doesn't mean that she can't continue to help and heal others, because who's doing the work? as who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? God is the one doing it always, always.
And yet there is required an effort on our part, isn't there? And what is that effort?
Obedience and trust.
Thank you. And sometimes it's an effort to just know what the truth is, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that beautiful statement in the lesson this week in Science and Health, the eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, and man's real existence as a child of God comes to light. I mentioned this before, but I love that, and I've used it often for myself, for others that I love, or others some I don't even know I still love. Anyway, this eternal truth is operating, and it is destroying all the things that you might have learned in your past, but you must be operating this truth. It is true. It is doing the work, but we must be operating it. And today we're going to talk about, you know, some of the beautiful attributes of this truth, the qualities as we express it, as we work this truth, as we open our eyes to the laws of God. Again, the lesson, as we let our dear Father teach us in the way, also the lesson, and in the operating of it, we begin to express certain attributes of this wonderful synonym of God. Anyone else? I know there were, Florence wrote to this. Do you want to say anything?
Well, I just said that what I think it's from what Patton's wrote. Does the ancient wordsmith liken truth to the sturdiness, endurance, and faithfulness of a trusty oak? And I said that must be why truth is always the victor, which is on page 380 of Science and Health. So all other methods falter, truth marches on. It's a good reminder why we should cling to the truth we've been given to take us where the false claims are clearly nothing and powerless. Thank God for Christian Science.
Thank you.
Teaches that truth is.
And I love this, you know, the fact that truth is being compared to the living, vital waters and also to the mighty oak. That was beautiful what Parsons wrote. The word truth is related to the same word from which trust and troth, as in betroth, are derived. In modern English, that word is tree. Thus, the ancient wordsmiths liken truth to the sturdiness, endurance, and faithfulness of a trusty oak. As was read by Florence. And this also goes in the lesson this week because Mrs. Eddy speaks about acquaintance with the original text. Sometimes we do have to deep digger to have a deeper understanding of what this means. I never knew that about the troth, but what Arthens looked up. It's wonderful. And yes, acquaintance with the original text and willingness to give up human beliefs established by hierarchies and instigated sometimes by the worst passions of men open the way for Christian Science to be understood and make the Bible the chart of light where the buoys and healing currents of truth are pointed out. And of course, the buoy, what does a buoy do?
It lifts up, doesn't it? Lifts up.
And it also warns of danger.
Yeah. If you see a buoy, that means there's
see a buoy, there's something underneath that you don't want to hit.
Yeah. People that are in boats understand that. So yeah, so it's warnings. Yeah, and it floats, it lifts up, that's very true. So in thinking of this beautiful, these beautiful ways to describe truth and that idea of oak, you know, it comes to mind that beautiful Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, isn't that the most beautiful picture of this mighty tree drinking up these living waters and becoming these truths? But as was just said, it requires obedience. What are some of the things the psalm is telling you to do?
Not to stand in the seat of the scornful, or sit in the seat of the scornful.
Yes. Stay away from the negative, from the doomsayers, from the false prophets. That's why, you know, getting too into anything that's not of God is not wholesome or healthy, whether it's movies or, you know, even investigating other types of religions or trying to figure out all the negative things people say about Christian Science. I don't know how that would help you when you could be spending your time in the truth itself. And it says that. And then what is his delight?
In the law of the Lord.
What does he do with it?
Meditates day and night.
Meditates day and night. And it is those people. And what happens to the people that are doing this? The verse number 3.
They prosper.
They bring us forth fruit. And what does it mean that his leaf shall not wither?
But last.
Yes, it's lasting. And you won't wither either. You won't get all old and wrinkled. Why should we? Trees are such wonderful examples, aren't they? Aren't they just so beautiful? And their roots go deep down to get those living waters of truth. And one of my favorite poems of Mrs. Eddy, and I actually have many, and certainly her hymns are beautiful, but this is a beautiful poem. It's found on page 392 of Miscellaneous Writing. And it is called The Oak on the Mountains. O mountain monarch, at whose feet I stand, clouds to adorn thy brow, skies clasp thy hand. Nature divine in harmony profound, with peaceful presence hath begirt thee round. And thou, majestic oak, from you high guardest thou the earth asleep in night's embrace, and from thy lofty summit pouring down thy sheltering shade, her noonday's glories crown. Whate'er thy mission, mountain sentinel, to my lone heart thou art a power and spell, a lesson grave of life that teacheth me to love the Hebrew figure of a tree. faithful and patient, be my life as thine, as strong to wrestle with the storms of time, as deeply rooted in a soil of love, as grandly rising to the heavens above. So, isn't that a beautiful description of the mighty oak? And let it be a description of you as you imbibe this truth, as you let your go deep down and fill yourself up with the river of truth, active, vital, and you will be a peaceful presence. You will guard the earth. That's what we're doing in our watching. We're guarding the earth. We are a sentinel, she calls it, and a sheltering shade from the heat. And then faithful and patient. And then this one's as strong to wrestle when the storms of time, with the storms of time. You think of how a mighty oak, terrible storms and things can blow through, but it stands strong and is deeply rooted in a soil of love.
That is how we stand strong in the storms pass by over through our cities. I holding to the truth, the only way to make it through. How do we identify around us that which is true and that which is not true? Truth is positive. It uplifts you. The untrue, the error, dwells on the negative. It says that the negative is the nature of man. The negative is the truth of our country, or our city, or of mankind. Therefore, we have to tear it down. That's the negative, and it's not the truth. When Mrs. Eddy says, hold thoughts steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, all those three go together. The true is good. The true is enduring. And that should be our ideal. The negative, the downpouring, destructive, is not the truth. It is not a, and we should not give it elsewhere.
Thank you. It's a good guide to tell. You know, it's always a good guide. It's a good guide if you go out with people. Do you come back feeling uplifted, or do you feel really depressed? And it's true of, yes, a lot of things, including the politics. Is it downpulling? Is it destroying? Or is it building up and seeing the good that God has created and emphasizing that? That's what our watch last night did, holding fast to these things. And you see, the other part of what Gary was quoting, hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and then what happens?
They'll come into your experience.
Yes, thank you. No.
They will come into your moment
proportionally to their occupancy of your thought. Now, if we hold fast to the horrible, everything's awful and people are terrible and we're all miserable sinners, well, is that what we want objectified? We have to raise up. And this is being the sentinel. See it in its perfection. We have to see each other in the imperfection. We were taught here to always see everyone as a child of God. Hail, Son of God, as the expression of Christ. And everyone is that expression. If it's all murked over, it's there. And when you speak to it, you speak to that goodness in the person. And you will bring it out. Rather, if you speak down, you'll bring that out too. then you'll have to heal yourself and the other person. Get your thought right. Victor Young has said, there's no greater thing you can do for anybody than to see them the child of God. And how true is that?
And holding to that truth in your consciousness, that truth does the work.
That because truth. That's the only loving, really.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is love, and this is motivated by love. And seeing the good in everything is motivated by love, and that's why it uplifts. We have to love our world. See, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Goodness, it took me years before it finally dawned on me what that meant. There is nothing else but God. There's nothing else. And so we see it, and as we see it, we bring it out. And this is the power of Christian Science. And believe me, ERA is doing everything it can to try to bring that down. And certainly the organization tumbling down, because it's become a human money-making machine. Mike said that a long time ago, real estate. So that's not Christian Science. It has nothing to do with materiality, power and prestige and money. Good God. So, again, though, it's not people, system become corrupt.
So we deny all false systems. And we help free others from the false systems by seeing them. God's creation.
That's why it can't be just about healing our problems too. I think really sometimes when things are going on so bad, you might forget that if you would just think about others, that in itself might help you too.
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
This is one of the laws and principles of the universe. Thank you, Florence. Christian Science is not selfish. And all the people that come and all they want is their healing. Maybe there was a time and day for that, but right now, you will get your healing when, what did Christ Jesus say? First seek what?
The kingdom of God.
And his righteousness.
And his, yeah. And then all shall be added unto you.
Thanks, Bill. That's right. These are basic rules. So when you first seek your own healing, you've got the cart before the horse, so to speak. Now, everyone comes at first for that, and we get that. But if that's all that you want and that's what you continue with, well, the time is so past that now. You might as well either go to another church or take your medication or whatever, if that's all that you want, because this science is totally reformation, life-changing, and also changing the world, bringing in the millennium, spiritualizing thought. I read something beautiful. It was in one of the precepts book just yesterday about Mrs. Eddy and this requirement of giving. And that's all she did. She was a giver, right? She based the whole science on giving, not on taking. And in giving, well, yes, she did. All those things were added unto her. But as we've said many times, they are byproducts of seeking the truth with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And they will come. I mean, I can testify to that. I had every problem known to man. And when I put all that aside and just began to seek truth for truth's sake, the living waters of truth, one by one, those problems diminished. Well, they finally disappeared, as Mrs. Eddy said. Not that I'm perfect by any means. I still have a lot of things to still work out. But a lot of those most dire, urgent, horrible things that plagued me so, physical problems, fears, frustrations, relationship problems, everything. I was truly a mess. And science and the never giving up is what helps. Keep at it. Don't give up. Focus your thought on God and His goodness, not on all your problems. Keep it on God. You focus.
Gilbert Carpenter.
Go ahead.
There's a paper that I came to mind this week that Gilbert Carpenter, I think it was on the web. Well, I know it was on the website at some point, but he talks about how when he went to Mrs. Eddy to start working in her house, he was wondering what he was going to do if he became ill. And when that happened, it was revealed to him that to work for the world. And as he said, he's just sat and next to the window and just prayed for all those suffering out in the world. And every time he did that, that healed whatever situation was going on with him. Every time, he said. And that really helped this week too, to remind me that when we do turn our thought to mankind and forget our problems just melt away.
Thank you. Story, yes. And you can imagine what it would be like to be in Mrs. Eddy's home and, you know, it'd be fear of what's going to happen if I wake up one day. I have said many times, it's been the secret in this church. That's why we keep going, why we're healthy. We keep going because we have this work to do and we don't think about our own problems. Who has time for that? The more you can embrace it, the better you will be. It is, as I said, a law of the universe. You can't ignore this. You can't. I mean, you can try, but you won't have any success. And why should you if your pursuit is only selfishness? My house, my life, my family, my this, my that. And he also said, and I found that quote too in my reading yesterday, where he said that, you know, watching and praying for the world is the life insurance of a Christian Scientist. Because you cannot be doing this work for the world and not be blessed yourself. It would be impossible. So, but that's not why you do it. It's a byproduct of all of this doing. And this is a whole new way. I mean, it seems to be a whole new way of people understanding science. Because it seemed to be used just to build up your own material life. And maybe that worked for a short time, but boy, does it come crashing.
Got competitive too, because then people started looking at each other's outward experience to see how they were demonstrating.
Thank you so much.
Yes. We are both judge righteous judgment, not unrighteous material appearance.
And that gets to our golden text and Shardy's comment. Go ahead, Shardy. Read the golden text and then
speak. Psalm 119. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. And this realization, this is what I posted, of God's nearness connected to his commandments, bringing truth to us, has been a great awakening for me. So it all goes together. You know, his nearness, because we obey the commandments, and it's all truth, all the commandments. Every word of God is truth. And then I check myself, and sometimes I really need to do that. And should I tell the little story that I thought of?
Yes, I'll tell where you got that story from.
Yes, I will. So when I'm seeking God in obedience, am I seeking God? And the first commandment. I have work to do and find comfort knowing that God is calling to me in order that I might rise up like the eagle calling to her chick while soaring from above, as the eaglet was walking around on the ground with the chickens who had raised him. Now, that's a story from a pastor, I believe he was a pastor, who told this story in Nigeria, and Benjamin retold it to us. The man's name is Richard Monk. I think I pronounced it correctly. And that really hit me. There is the eagle, never giving up, always calling. So I feel God is calling to me, and I am rising up. I'll be able to do that. Thank you.
Yes, and that Benjamin was telling us about this man. He blessed so many Nigerians with his preaching and told that story. Yes.
He was an evangelist some time ago, yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead, Florence, if you know any more about him.
Oh, he was just, bringing the truth, teaching the truth. He was very, very enthusiastic, very charismatic, really. But a lot of what he said was true. I just knew of him, that's all.
Thank you.
Yeah, Benjamin said when he was in Africa, when he found out this guy was coming, he would show up real early so he could get a front seat so to be as close to him as possible.
And it must have, helped Benjamin open his thoughts, so when science came to him, he was very, very receptive.
Yeah. Yes.
He also was raised on the Bible stories. Someone I was talking to recently who's raised in a very secular country and never knew the stories. I mean, she's hard for her not to think of them as fables or Bible stories. And how sad that is. That has to be overcome. That's one of the eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, because we know the Bible stories to be so true. And how wonderful it is to teach them to the children as truth, as Benjamin and as Florence in Anna. They were alive to her and to Benjamin. And they were to me too, because my mother taught them to me. So
I think they're really important, because it's amazing when you grow up, then when you look back, the real meaning of them, I mean, it's life-changing. And great examples for, us to practice. At the time, it was exciting. We were going for the stories. They were nice stories, and we had pictures and all that. But now, the deeper meaning of all this and how relating it is to our living is profound. So,
thank you.
You learn those stories.
Yeah, and even the ones that sound so fearsome, everyone getting killed and. But this interpretation of them has meaning to them. Sometimes you can see it's the error, the erroneous thinking that's getting wiped out and killed, if you see it that way rather than as people. And that's the value of our Bible studies, or we know it we'll be having again. And Mike on, because what Mike is going to prepare, we're going to get into more of Revelation this fall. It's so deep and something we all need to understand more deeply. So and also in Shardy's forum, and it was what Linda was speaking to too, is this covetousness, this idea that's the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet.
Yeah.
And if you were comparing yourself as a Christian Scientist, and I've heard people, get together with other Christian Scientists, what job you have and what house you live in, and oh, your children, how wonderful your children are, and they're all Christian Scientists, third and fourth generations. You've learned that means zero, zippo, zip, zip, zip.
You don't inherit Christian Science. Work that way.
And anything that cultivates that, and it's not just Christian Science, good grief, this is worldly, this is what the world tells you. And then you just go home feeling upset and miserable, and how come you didn't get this? And well, no. Don't go there. Don't brag about things you have. Do you stay humble? You keep your nose to the grindstone.
That's why the chapter in Science and Health that relates to truth. What is it called?
Prudage.
footsteps of truth?
Footsteps of truth. Footsteps of truth. He's telling us that truth doesn't come all at once. You acquire the truth. You earn the truth. And everybody, every one of us, including all of our children, grandchildren, they have to take the footsteps themselves that enable them to learn.
We got to walk the walk.
Yeah.
And she does say to emerge gently. I mean, how loving is that?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. This is not something that you get a degree and then you know it all. We're all working at this, you know, we're all working at it.
Yeah, we're all working at it. That he says that, well, it's eternity, you know. That's why she liked that hymn, Eternity.
yeah.
That, you know, New Year's, but...
Bruce's favorite hymn.
Yeah, well, it evidently was one of Mrs. Eddy's, too, which surprised me a little bit, but then, no, not really, because we're in this for eternity, and truly, there is no time. That beautiful, I love that beautiful testimony that Victoria gave about, she was feeling so pressured, and then she went to a Christian Science testimony meeting, and someone after the meeting started talking about the rock and
time about
the time was just the earth with the sun, so it's just like a rock and a stone, and that time is, and so we shouldn't pay all this heed to it. It was beautifully said. I didn't say it as well as she did, but I believe that's in our latest Liberator, that testimony.
Yes, it is.
So, yes, eternity. We have eternities. Don't pressure yourself. Don't be a sluggard in the race either, but, you don't have to learn all this overnight. But that.
And patience with others.
And yourself. So the... And this, all of this is the living waters of truth working. Let your roots grow deep. Be that good soil where the seed fell. So you're drinking of these living waters and go over all those attributes that will come as you live a life of truth, as you find out about the eternal truth, destroying anything that wasn't right and blossoming into wonderful fruitage. So, Linda, what was your forum about?
The line about from the Bible, Psalm 119, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And this week I came across a quote by Thomas Paine that said, he who dares not offend cannot be honest. And that really struck me, that because honesty has been something that I started working on as soon as I came to Plainfield, because I didn't really understand it. And I wanted so much to walk a life of integrity. And I realized that I was always afraid of offending. And we talk about that here, and this idea of that four-letter word of being nice. And I'm still working on it. And so I realized that part of integrity and walking with God was his precepts. And his precepts is to be honest. So we're going to have to not be afraid to offend. And honesty is so much more important than worrying about. And it was very enslaving to worry about. And then you never could make everyone happy anyways. And no matter what you did, you somehow offended them. So it was very exhausting.
And you yourself felt like awful.
Yeah, and then you feel awful too, because you're not living who you really are.
Very, so true, so beautiful. Boy, did I suffer from that as well. I tried so hard to please everyone, and you please no one. And as we were taught here, when you please God and you keep going back to that, Father, am I pleasing you? Then you will please those who are important to please. And if you don't please others, you just have to let it go. So when we get thumbs down or whatever, I say, okay, well, can't please everybody as long as we're working to please Father, keep the purity. So important, yes, and it is exhausting because you're not true to yourself. I got myself out on a far, far limb and didn't know how to get back because of this. I wasn't being myself, true to who, what I really thought. What do you really think? Your feelings are important. I used to just try to hide them and push them away. You gotta be in touch with yourself. What do you feel about this? Is this right? Do you like it? Is it wrong? Does this book help me? No, it doesn't. What I just hear sound like truth, or no, it doesn't. Be honest, and then that's your spiritual sense. You'll develop it. Honesty is spiritual power. Dishonesty is human weakness. And what is the penalty?
It forfeits divine help.
Penalty. It forfeits divine help. So, you know, when you see people and you say, gosh, I know that person just said a terrible lie, well, you can also know he's forfeiting divine help. He's losing it. Teach this to your children. Always be honest. Honesty is part of truth. And also, see others as honest. And if you do this, you will not find dishonest people entering your experience. Well, it won't happen.
You will not be a victim of dishonesty.
Yes, you will no longer be a victim. You'll be a victor. And if you do find dishonest things happening to you, well, check yourself. Are you what Linda wrote in her forum? And are you, is very he who dares not to offend. Now, that's why Mrs. Eddy has a masterpiece of an article, Taking Offense. And so, most times when people are offended, what is offended?
Personal.
Yeah. Very much. Yes. Good. You knew that one. Your pride, your ego. That's what's offended. And when you're afraid to offend, usually you're afraid of offending their pride and ego. Well, that pride and ego needs to go. That doesn't mean you go around just telling people off all the time either. You use wisdom and love together always. But as a Christian Scientist, eventually you're going to have to get some correction, and you have to be able to take it if you want to grow. Not all just peaches and cream.
And you're going to have to be able to give it. Take the consequences of giving it. And this is that's why it says, give a cup of cold water. Christ's name. When you give a correction, what does it mean in Christ's name?
With love.
With divine love. In Christ's name. In divine love. You give someone a correction out of 100% wholesome, unselfed, divine love. Never fear the consequence. There's a chemicalization. Well, that's good. Never fear that. Because that's where it is itself. And the person is free. That's all.
Yeah, and you know it. You know before, pray before. If you have to give any kind of a rebuke, pray before, pray during, and pray after. Dear Father, doing this out of love, I know it will bless them, and then after you do it, know that it is blessing them. They can't react or chemicalize, even if they do it first. Okay, let it go, but then they'll come around and realize the truth and what you had to say. You don't just say it out of, well, if you say it out of anger, it's all wrong. Has to be motivated by love. And then, you know, Joe wrote about this too, through the wholesome chastisements of love, we are helped onward in the march towards righteousness, peace, and purity. Yes, and Mrs. Evans used to say she'd rather prefer to get a rebuke from her practitioner than to get something. She'd say from God, it's not really from God, but if you go on and on in a wrong on the wrong path, later things are going to blow up on you. So better to take the rebuke, as Ingrid was talking about recently, about either through science or suffering, quoting Mrs. Eddy, let it be through science. Take the rebuke, change, learn, get rid of pride. And in Science and Health on page 21, if a disciple is advancing spiritually, he is striving to enter in, he constantly turns away from material sense and looks towards the imperishable things of spirit. Here again, where's your focus? Don't look at all the material sense stuff. Focus on the imperishable things of spirit. And then, if honest, he will be earnest from the start and gain a little each day in the right direction. This is our footsteps of truth. Till at last he finishes his course with joy. Now, I was looking because I love the first edition of this. Well, she says in there, it's worded a little differently. I couldn't read it this morning, but she says something about, and if his honesty is preserved, then he finishes course with joy. Keep your honesty. Hang on to it. No matter what, even if you want to object to something, you want to object to something here, better to be honest. I admire honest people who tell me what they think. Those you can work with and help than those who smile at you and are thinking awful things. Stay honest. I think it was, well, I know Mrs. Evans said it, but I think Mrs. Eddy might have said it too, and I'm sure Lawrence and I know this to be true. You can heal almost anyone unless they're dishonest. And some people don't even know. They've been dishonest for so long. They're so used to fooling themselves into thinking they're doing things and reading and doing all this stuff. They don't even know they're being dishonest. And sometimes that takes a lot of jiggling around to get that error loose and healed. Right, Florence?
Yes. Certainly. It does come loose often. Sometimes not.
Yes. So, very important lesson in truth, the living waters of truth. And thank you again, Karen. I just thought that was so beautiful, definitions you gave. So,
you're welcome. The lessons are so powerful and so wonderful. There were so many things that I wanted to put on the forum. And again, I just have to learn to just let go and let God tell me, okay, of all the things I want to say, which one do you want me to put on there? And I do that with the watches. I do that. It's wonderful how it works out. But after I put it, I thought, gosh, that's even helpful to me. So, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. It is. And I'm so grateful, those of you who are doing the forum, because it is really your turn to share and express things that you've been learning. That's your forum. It's your way to express. And more people have good to offer. And don't think you don't. And Lillian always tells me she's the most, the more simple it is, the more she likes it. The easier it is to understand. So it doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be from your heart, from your heart. And it was once told me, and this is true about everything, including giving a testimony. If it helped you, good chance it's going to help somebody else. All you need, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. And so we are teaching in Science and Health. It says, teach your students the omnipotence of truth, which illustrates the
error.
The nothingness of error.
Yes, the impotence. It's nothing. It has no power. But focus on the allness, all power of truth. That's what you focus on. And these truths, all these truths that you're learning, whether it's just you're a child of God, or yes, fullness and all powerness, all power of God. God loves you. Those are working in you, and they will destroy anything you've learned that wasn't true.
And ding. Remember,
go ahead.
Ding, ding.
Oh. Well, we are going to end on something I thought was, well, this is from the first edition of Science and Health.
This
is
page 145 of the first edition. Shall we serve the old masters? Because truth has enemies and disturbs the tranquility of error. Wisdom has given us more foresight than this. The advanced thinkers, perceiving the scope and tendency of truth, we may look for support. This will say to the science of being, as did one of old, to please the rabbis, go thy way for this time. The highest standpoint of being is its science. But opinions, doctrines, and beliefs afford no demonstrable principle to reach it and enable man to work out his own salvation. Is truth the principle of man that does this? But there is not a smoother and broader path to harmony, heaven. And cannot Christianity be coupled with worldly peace and prosperity? The very nature of it is peace and blessedness, but its joys and triumphs are not earthly. They are passing away from matter to spirit. By this, we do not mean death, nor a sudden ecstasy, but the gradual fading out of material things, of earthly desire, possession, and pleasure, and the coming in purity, truth, and immortality. The demands of personal sense will grow less. The appetite becomes simple. Pride, malice, and all sin yield to meekness, mercy, and love. Until finally, the belief of human matter yields to the consciousness that life is spirit, and spirit, God. Good thoughts and deeds are science that proceed not from a doctrinal basis, but is soul subduing sin, personal belief, personal pleasure or pain, feeling all harmony, righteousness, and blessedness in our God being.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.